and away we go. Good afternoon, Los Angeles and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s. On KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. Inspired by a long letter I got by a nice lady who is a Gemini Aries rising. We're talking Karen here. She has 14 questions as a follow-up to our topic last week, which inspired a lot of people on multi-souls, walk-ins. So we're going to call this Multi-Soul Walk-In 2, Part 2. Okay, let's take a look at this topic today, and we will go 25 minutes commercial-free now, thanks to you, Southern California, for helping us stay on the air. And obviously, this topic really affected a lot of people. We got a lot of mail the show or two following that topic, the day or two following that topic. A lot of people were very excited about it. And it inspired this long letter from this woman with 14 questions. And she obviously related to the multi-soul walk-in topic tremendously. If you didn't hear the show last week, I talked about the theory that prior to birth, multiple souls, multiple entities make an agreement, a soul contract with each other that they will mutually use a body one at a time from 2 up to 12 souls, which means that each soul will go through its individual karma with that body, and when the karma is finished, then that soul would vacate or leave, sometimes through a life or death-like experience, could be a shock to the system, but oftentimes we as the body down here on Earth experience this change, this walk-in change, because life never seems to be the same from one day to the next. Our values are changed, our ethics are changed, our motives and attitudes are changed. One day you can go from totally not believing in astrology and metaphysics because of one soul that might be in your body, go through a life, death, shock, rebirth situation, and the very next day suddenly embrace it all. You might go through a situation where you've never been able to lose weight your whole life when you've been heavy, and the next day suddenly for years to follow you have total willpower and you can lose weight. You might go from being a Democrat during one life cycle and then become a total Republican the next. So there are a lot of things in life that can definitely help us prove that the walk-in multi-soul philosophy does in fact work. She says, Karen in her letter says, she heard about walk-ins years ago and was never comfortable with the subject, but she felt that I presented it in a clean, straightforward method. So here are some of her questions that come to mind. Number one, it seems as though there is a master soul, the conscious mind, for a person who does the coordinating and or who has to experience all the changes presented by the various soul molecules. What she's trying to say here, she wants to know who's in control of this situation. Best thing I can focus on is I like to try to get across my philosophy that I feel that the body does in fact have its own identity and it does in fact have its own entity, the brain, the memories of the brain, the memories of this lifetime, which we also call the conscious mind. So even though the soul of the body may change during the walk-in exchange, frankly, the conscious mind remains the same. I want to try to make that clear, which means if one soul that was using my body suddenly severed the silver cord, and obviously if there were a dozen souls connected to one body, for the next soul to come in and take over, then the agreement has to be made prior to the life that the first soul would be totally finished with the body, in which case the severance would take place, and there would be a death-like experience for the body to experience, actually almost like a mourning period. But the conscious mind does not change. The new soul that would walk in, the second soul that would come in, would now be the driver of the current body, which means now it would have to deal with the computer terminal that we call life. So the person, the individual, the entity, which has the name in this earthly life, like the name Farley Malaris, which is the identity and the name of my body, it obviously is not the name of my eternal soul. If I were, in fact, someone that had multi-soul experiences, then each time a soul would come in, the master or the controlling denominator would be the fact that the soul would have to drive this body, this brain, these memories, and the attitudes that had already been shaped by the previous soul that was here. Hope that answered that question. I do love to get questions, so when Geminis write them all out like this, it is a lot of fun. Karen says, number two, that I once told her that karma could be absolved at the end of life by forgiving and embracing what you have resisted in life. If this is so, I mean, if I read your statement correctly, then what opportunity would the earlier soul molecules have for such absolution? Okay, this is a great question. Because in the multi-soul philosophy, the theory that if there is one soul in the body, or actually if there's multiple souls connected to the body and one soul is using the body, that first soul would live off the natal chart at birth. But when the severance took place, like if you can recall when the auto accident occurred, or when you came out of your coma, or your heart was restarted, because a lot of things go on when one soul is severed and another one takes place. And usually what goes on is a death-like experience or an emotional or traumatic shock. It's like one day we find ourselves totally in love and unable to let go of this person that has rejected us in a relationship, in a marriage or whatever. They've left us, they've abandoned us. And we find it so difficult to get over the situation. We are confronted with pain, sometimes abdominal pains, ulcers, backaches, headaches, whatever. Then suddenly we reach the point where we're called karma clear and we're finally able to let go and process that individual. And that might be the exact anniversary moment when the first soul is severed and the second soul takes over, which allows the individual to let go and say goodbye because that second soul is not really connected to the relationship that just occurred. Now, the fascinating part about this topic and this question is that if you were able to record the time and the date and the year of that occurrence, when you were finally able to get over somebody, when you woke up from an operation, surgery, or an auto accident, or some kind of emotional trauma, or your heart stopping, or you dying on the operating table, whatever, and you knew you were different, if you could record the date, time, and city of transition, that moment of transition, that would be a supplemental natal chart that would actually chart the second lifetime for that body. Isn't that amazing? That to me is a very advanced astrological theory, but we still don't lose the initial natal chart because the body is charged by that initial natal chart. That stays with the body the entire life cycle. But if we could also chart the rebirth, or the positioning of where the planets were when the person's second soul entered the body and took over, well, that would be another chart that would be just as valid as the birth chart. Isn't that intense? That's why we like to chart rebirths, too. And if you ever want to chart a rebirth and you know the date, time, and city of the transition moment, then you can call it like Farley Malaris rebirth, or, you know, John Wilson rebirth, whatever. And then you have another natal chart. You have your birth chart when you were a baby and the initial soul took control. Then you have your rebirth chart when you were able to calculate the moment a second soul entered your body and the other one was severed. And I know this is an extremely hypothetical and controversial topic, but people seem to like this kind of metaphysical stuff. And obviously this is stuff I think about all the time. So I think this is stuff we need to definitely go over. Anyway, let's go on with question number three in Karen's interesting letter. And obviously you can see if I get an inspirational letter like this, I will definitely make a topic out of it. She says, I mentioned that several souls might have karma with the self or the present life entity. Can you elaborate here? Also, do you think the same group of soul molecules reincarnate in the same body as through time you might reincarnate with the same group of people, your mother in this life, might have been your boss in a past life and so forth. Well, I personally think that if you are almost an individual, I almost said a victim, right? But an individual who is involved with having multiple souls connected to your body at birth, you know, each one of them coming in one at a time until they're all finished, and then the final passing would be death, of course, of the body, then that would definitely say that not only is there a lot of karma concerning all of the individuals connected to the body, but there'd be definitely a lot of karma connected with these individuals and what and who they are really is about. Let's say you could have an American Indian male, a two black females, a heterosexual woman, and a homosexual man all connected to one body. Isn't that heavy? Let's say the body of a white man And this person would go through severe transitions in their life, obviously. They can go from being a racist to very discriminating to open-minded into segregation and maybe go from a conservative to almost a hippie to reactionary. So if you take a look at your own life, you might note severe value changes or oriented changes that would go on like that. And yes, there's definitely a strong karma that is going on if there is a multi-soul situation that exists. Some people I have talked to believe that everyone has a multi-soul situation, that there are so many souls out there and so few bodies that everyone has multi-souls connected to their body. So everyone would experience these life and death experiences that manifest walk-in situations. Okay, another question. She says, many individuals out there who are not in this realm, who also have karma with the self, in order for them to work out their karma, they have to be you. What then is the self? Well, that's a tough question, Karen. The self is God, down deep. There is only one entity. There is only one spiritual organism. There is only one source of love and light, which is God. As we approach the third dimension and third dimensional values and ideals and materialistic desires and wants and hates, what we do is we design individualization. We design uniqueness. We design separation, the illusion of separation. As we move beyond this realm into higher levels, we move beyond this uniqueness and beyond this separation, and we move more towards oneness. So it would almost seem logical metaphysically for there to be multiple souls attached to each and every body. Don't you get it? Because down deep we are trying to get all these souls to cooperate with each other because they all are attached to one body. And in that, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe 12 souls can discover oneness in the body of one individual, one human being. So the self down deep is God. And when we finally do approach that fact, that metaphysical fact, we enter a realm where no longer do we feel separate or individual or unique, but not only are we one with the half dozen or dozen souls that are attached to our body, but we are suddenly one with all people. So that's why this theory is totally metaphysically sound, in my opinion. Once again, this show is always my opinion. Number 5, I hope we have enough time to get through all 14. Not allowed to enter the body unless the initial soul is finished. That's a quote I said. Say there was a childhood lesson and an old age lesson that one soul had to experience. Could that original soul re-enter at an appropriate time the same body it inhabited for the earlier lesson? I would say no. I would say no way. I would say that there was a dominant soul in order that through total spiritual grace and mercy is allowed to have total control of that life lesson. If there was an interference from one of the other souls down the line that was meant to walk into that body, I think it could totally alter the karma and almost create what we call a metaphysical paradox that could create a setback for all the souls involved with the body. So I really do feel that each soul was meant to incarnate and walk into that body at a different period in life. If one soul was meant to have an experience that was supposed to be childhood and old age, I don't think they would be attached to this body. And I would say there would be one soul that was meant to experience the childhood, another soul that might be meant to experience the teen life, yet another soul would be experience the young adulthood, maybe another soul would experience the middle age cycle, and then a final soul or two or three final souls would experience the more mature cycle and the old age, and then finally the death itself. So, no, I don't think there'd be any jumping around. At least that's my feeling. That's my intuition, and that's what I'm channeling right now. Number 6, what might trigger the next soul's entry into the body? It seems as though it can be as simple as fainting or as big as dying and coming back. You say you felt different after your knee injury. I had major emotional changes. Are these results of the soul change or triggers for it? Well, frankly, when you go through karma in your life, you either serve or you suffer. You either absolve the pain and embrace the karma and let it go and you grow from that, by making a peace and by being able to let go of a relationship that's not good for you, or being able to let go of a dream, a material dream, or being able to say goodbye to anger and hate and selfishness and greed, by letting go of simple attitudes and motives that have been ruling your life, could be the mission of the particular soul that might be attached to your body during a certain life cycle. So if one soul was living in the body of an individual that had been an alcoholic for 20 years, and suddenly that individual found the will to embrace spirit and let go of that self-destructive behavior, that might initialize a rebirth walk-in. At the same time, what we're also dealing with karmically here is if an individual soul has a deadline, maybe by the age 20, and blows its karma, well, then that soul might experience what we call a soul cancellation, where the person would bottom out on the drugs and alcohol, have a near-death-like experience, end up in the hospital, the first soul would be severed completely, and the second soul would come in, which would exude a lot more strength and a lot more power and project a lot more harmony and balance to that body, which would finally allow the individual to be sober, to be spiritual, and to gain an open mind and to seek further truth. See, so that's how it works. One soul leaves the body either because it has succeeded in its mission of karma or it has reached a point of soul cancellation. And that's where the deadlines come in. And if that were true, of course, then obviously it would make a lot of sense as to why we are given so much strength when we do survive traumas and emergencies that occur in our lives. Okay, number 7. This letter warranted multi-soul too, didn't it? Is there a way to judge whether these indicate a multiple soul entity or simply a single soul learning many lessons? Well, I just have trouble relating to the single soul philosophy because the further and further I get to metaphysics and the more I become aware of how bonded we all are, it makes total sense that many of us might have small cities bonded to these bodies, in my opinion. So, for me to judge whether a person has a multiple soul entity or a single soul, I feel everyone has a multiple soul entity, even if there's two. Now, many of you, obviously, if you only had two, you might be in a single soul situation now, because if you did have the rebirth and the walk-in, then the first soul would have left your body, been severed, and now you have been allowed to lead out the rest of your life. When we reach a point that both souls, or all the souls, have finally finished their course and they've all severed the silver cord, I would think that situation might be called what medical doctors refer to as an irretrievable coma situation, when the body is still alive, but there is just no longer any consciousness there whatsoever, because the last soul that left and severed took the entire memory bank, including the conscious mind, with it, in total. But I'm sure people could argue that if they wanted to. Number 8. Might karma set up by one soul earlier in the body's life be played out by a later soul entry? Like if you called your cousin fat as an 8-year-old, then had your nephew say the same thing to you 20 years later, what, if any, is each soul's responsibility to its body mates, and how do they integrate? You're darn right. The whole theory behind being involved with one body when there are multiple souls connected with their silver cords to that body is the fact that each and every soul expresses a community responsibility to that body. Now, also, I want you to be aware that I also personally feel that if a soul blows its karma in that body, then that body might not have to experience that karma with the next soul. Because see, the soul that blows its karma would take its karma with it. The karma would not stop and stay in the body. That's why many of us experience strange karmic situations many lifetimes later, almost things that happen to people that seem totally innocent, are victimized because suddenly a soul pattern will occur in a person's body that is a negative energy that must be experienced in order for that soul to experience its highest good. So when you talk about metaphysics and soul growth and the multi-soul philosophy, it does get a little complicated. And this is a much higher topic than I'm normally used to delivering, of course. Number 9. Are you saying that if you have several main life experiences, it is likely that you are a multiple soul entity? Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely saying that if you live a lifetime where you felt like you definitely have been two or three or more different people, so what you're doing really is validating the multi-soul philosophy. If you've had one of these 180s, or these experiences where you just didn't feel like the same person from one day to next several times in your life, then bingo, you're there. Let's see if we can wrap up the rest of her questions. What about repetitive lessons, ones that repeat, though the souls have changed? Well, frankly, if the karma in a body is like Saturn in Libra, conjunct Neptune in Libra, square Uranus in Cancer, then all the souls that enter that body are going to be confronted with a focal mission that is concerned with relationships, concerned with emotions, concerned with balance. So I would think that that is why those souls are in fact attached to that body, because they are actually looking to hook on to certain specific astrological cycles that that body and that conscious mind are about to go through. Get my point? So I don't think it's an accident that multi-soul entities would attach themselves to a particular body because they know what the astrological charge is on that body, they know what the karma is for that body, and they need to go through that karma in order to grow. That's why they're there. And how do these souls fit in with one's higher self? Do they function as spirit guides? Or as the higher self, does the higher self change for each soul? Good question, hard to answer. I think some people's higher self is so complicated that it might be made up of several lots of souls. When we talk about things like higher self, the higher self in itself may be a soul bank that could be filled with 50 entities or more, which is what I refer to as the soul molecule. Because the closer you get to the higher self, then you start approaching the superconscious mind, and then the God self or the God mind, where all minds and selves lie, in the one source of all light and love, the I, or I am. So I would say in many ways the higher self of all of us is very similar, if not in its higher expression, all the same. The same higher self, that is. Are the emotional or mental crises set up by the soul change in people who cannot handle its trauma a part of the soul's karma? Yeah, I think that as the soul that's in the current body moves, as it transforms, it sets up crises, emotional, mental, even physical, because maybe it's behind in its deadline to absolve its karma, so certain situations of pain, whether it's emotional, physical, or mental, will come in, and that's what the test for that individual soul is. If it cannot handle the pain, then the body might break down temporarily, shut off. A death-like experience will occur. That soul is severed. The soul cancellation takes place, and the next soul walks in and takes over. And that's when suddenly we're given this inner strength and inner spirit that we never knew we had. And we don't lose our identity. The last question is, why don't we lose identity when the soul rebirths? Well, that's simple. Because the identity lies in the conscious mind, in the brain, in the memory banks of the brain. So when a new soul puts on its gloves or puts on its wetsuit, which is this body, it typically is walking into a plane or a computer terminal that might have had another different user prior to this date, but now it has a new user, which is the new soul that walks in. So the identity is not lost because it is in the body and the conscious mind. Okay. She says, I present these questions because your show stimulated them, and I wanted to share them with you as a representative of your listening audience. I again urge you to do a follow-up to today's show and hope that you incorporate some of the above into the topic. If I have these questions, I am sure that many others do also. Thanks for your consideration. And then she says, don't do it this week because she'll be in New York. So, Karen, if you come back, then you'll have to buy a copy of today's show to get a hold of that. We'll actually probably send her a copy as a thank you for all the questions. I am Farley Malaris, and you are listening to a very advanced edition on this wonderful day, the Martin Luther King holiday, and a great man to be remembered for sure, dedicated to freedom on earth and freedom of all people and human rights, of course. So, Martin Luther King, wherever you are, know that I love you and I salute your efforts, and this show is therefore dedicated to your honor and to your memory. A wonderful being for sure.